Welcome to the Self-Love Lifestyle Podcast. I am your host, Melanie Monaco, and I am so honored to be connecting with you today through these sound waves. I'm a master self-love coach. I train and certify self-love coaches. I hold numerous certifications and practices like archetypal psychology, energy healing, intuitive eating, and more. But most importantly, I am on a mission to guide others in manifesting more self-love. Self-love empowers us with the tools to not only love and accept ourselves deeply, but to expand our compassion for those around us. Practicing self-love means alchemizing life's challenges by transmuting pain into purpose and viewing obstacles as opportunities for deepening self-awareness and understanding. In this podcast, I'll be sharing inspiration for your own healing journey, guided rituals, spiritual insight, as well as candid conversations with the amazing goddesses on my team and other leaders in the wellness space as well. My hope is that at the end of each episode, you feel empowered, inspired, and more connected to your most authentic self. Self-love may be a personal journey, but it is not a journey that we have to do alone. I am infinitely grateful for our amazing community, and by listening, you are now part of our community too. Thank you for being here. Now let's dive in. Welcome back. I'm really excited because today is my first Ask Me Anything episode of the podcast. I posted a question in my stories a while back, an Ask Me Anything sticker in my stories, and so I received some beautiful responses from that. I haven't really thought too much about my answers to these questions. I've seen them, obviously, but I'm going to be answering from a really like present, intuitive space. I haven't like sat down and written out my answers or anything like that, so I'm excited to just dive right in. So the first question that I received is there anything you still struggle with as a coach, like self-doubt or anything like that? I wouldn't say that I struggle with self-doubt as a coach. I've gotten enough experience now where I feel really confident in my resources and tools that I can provide clients, and I've honed the skill of active listening. I'm really in touch with my intuition as a coach, so I feel pretty confident about all of those things. I will say the one thing that can be a struggle at times is remembering that I can't do the work for people. I'm sure some of the coaches that are going to be revisiting this episode can relate, because so often when we can see really clearly what might be holding somebody back, or you know, we see a pattern that somebody isn't really willing to recognize or work through, it can be really frustrating as a coach, and maybe even if you're not coaching somebody, but as a friend or you know, in whatever relationship you're in, to see somebody struggle and to feel like you have the resources to help them, but they're not at a place where they're interested in using those resources, or those resources might not be right for them. That can be really hard, because as a coach, we all always just want to help people and be of service, but remembering that we can't do the work for people, we can't get people to a place they're not ready to be at. You know, what's most important as a coach is that we're showing up and providing a space for people to go deeper into their own inner wisdom. A coach isn't going to provide somebody with the answers. A coach is going to provide somebody with the space and the resources to come up with their own answers and do things that are right for them and most in alignment with their highest self or their most authentic self. So I would say, you know, it can be hard at times to remember that. It's rare that I really see that in personal clients that I work with, because by the point somebody has signed up for like a one-on-one program with me or like a more intimate coaching container, they're like ready. They're ready to do the work. They're investing in themselves in a pretty major way, time-wise, financially. And so they're like eager to really do the work. It's more in larger containers like courses and workshops where people, you know, feel like they can kind of just hide behind the group and life might get in the way. And they think that, oh, you know, Melanie might not notice. And I, you know, do my best to provide accountability, and my team provides accountability, and we have so much in place and structured, especially in the certification program, to support people. But, you know, things happen, and people choose to prioritize other things, and that's fine. But remembering that that is not my responsibility, how people manage their time is definitely important, an important practice for me to do. And then as like a coach, I'm also a business owner, obviously. So there are things in business like that I wouldn't say are like a struggle, but that I don't love to do, like the financial aspect of things, like, you know, accounting and following up payments, all of those things I hire out because those things are not of interest to me. And so that's important to keep in mind as a coach. If there is something like admin that you struggle with that you can hire out, as soon as you have the revenue stream to support that, do it, because it'll free you up to be able to prioritize really what brings you the most joy as a business owner. And the more that you do that, the more abundant and amazing your business will be. Okay, the next question that I have is, how do you continuously make time for your marriage with everything you have going on? It's a really beautiful question. You know, Sam, my husband, and I are both entrepreneurs. We're both business owners, and we've had a really, really difficult couple of years here. I mean, I think the whole world has had a difficult number of years. In our family systems, we've had a number of losses. We've had mental health stuff come up for me in my pregnancy and postpartum, and it's been a lot. On top of that, we're managing businesses and doing home renovations and trying to prioritize time with family. Our marriage has been tested in the last couple of years, especially since becoming parents. And what we have chosen to do is prioritize each other. So, you know, the question of how do you continuously make time for your marriage? We prioritize it. You know, sometimes that means that we just, you know, are only able to spend like 30 minutes at the end of the day together because it's just been so crazy, but we do it. I think we really try to check in like at least once every day to just like be together and share, you know, how we're feeling and what's going on. I'm really grateful that Sam, I mean, he filmed my whole certification course, so he basically did it. Also, I mean, he's just been present for like so much of my coaching journey as an entrepreneur, and all of the resources that I've created and a lot of the trainings and certifications that I've done happened well like earlier on in our relationship. And so he's been really present for a lot of that. And while that's not necessarily, he's not like as into personal development or spirituality as I am in terms of like the more, I don't know, like self-care routine type of things. Like that's not really his vibe. But he can speak the language, and he is very present with his own emotions. He's a very sensitive guy. He's so communicative. And so all of those things mean that we're able to really support each other. I don't feel like I ever have to go above and beyond to explain how I feel. He tends to just like get it because he already knows the language, and he knows me so well. And when it comes to things that he's working through, you know, that's where active listening is such a beautiful tool that we can cultivate not only as coaches, but as people in relationships. And I think that we both just do a really good job of supporting each other and growing and holding each other accountable when it's important that we do so. So Sam and I have often, you know, I would say the majority of our relationship, we've prioritized time for each other. it's just a really important thing, going for walks, having meals together, watching movies, and then doing the emotional work, which we're both very inclined to do. Yeah, how do you continuously make time for your marriage with everything? You just make it happen, even if it's in small increments. One of the things I try to remind myself in all circumstances is it's not the quantity of time, it's the quality of time. So being conscious of, like, if you're sitting on the couch and you're both on your phones, maybe, like, that's where you take a step back and you then, you know, ask some, like, deep questions of how are you feeling about your relationship to your career right now? What dreams do you have? What do you want to manifest? How can I support you in doing that? You know, like, really diving in with some questions. Sometimes, especially it was recently Sam's birthday, I was asking him, like, you know, what his goals were and stuff, and he was like, are you coaching me? I was like, no, I'm not. But I have to be conscious of, like, not being too coachy, and he calls me out if I do, because obviously that's not our relationship. It's not a coach client relationship. But a lot of the tools and techniques that we use as coaches can be translated into relationships, but that's not necessarily the best place to come from at all times. So I hope that was interesting and helpful to you, for you to hear about. Our relationship has been tested, but we've gotten through it. You know, we've done the work. We really have. And we're continuing to do the work. All right. The next question is, how do you keep doctors' opinions about your weight/health from dragging down your mental health? Yeah, I personally seek out doctors that have values that are in alignment with mine. So naturopathic doctors I found to be amazing. When I was pregnant, I worked with midwives. I never went to an OBGYN. I don't think I've seen, like, a traditional doctor in like 5 years, because I've just gone to alternative practices. And naturopathic doctors are legit doctors. They're not, like, you know, just woo-woo, you know, stuff. It's they take your blood levels and, you know, monitor, like, everything a regular doctor would monitor and more. And they have resources that are based in, you know, natural health and traditional medicine. And they use that first before going in to more interventionist ideologies, like, you know, medications and such. But they don't not prescribe medication. Like, they do what they, you know, need to do to keep somebody healthy and regulated. But I would say that's how I keep my doctor's opinions from dragging down my mental health, as I seek out the doctors that are in alignment with my values. But I know that is not as easily accessible to everybody to be able to do that. And so what I will say is, before I had the means to work only with, you know, really, like, amazing holistic practitioners, I was seeing more traditional doctors. And what I did is I just really equipped myself with the resources. One of the things, best things you can do for yourself is figure out how to advocate for yourself. And so if you have a doctor sharing their opinion about your weight, do the work to figure out what are the statistics, what are the actual facts, what are the studies that support, you know, how you want to feel. We're talking about weight, and I know the person who wrote this, actually, I'm pretty sure I recommended this book to you. Health at Every Size is an amazing book with so many resources about why weight is not directly connected to your actual health and well-being. And yeah, there's so many resources out there. So figure out how to equip yourself with the knowledge to where if somebody comes at you, whether or not you speak that knowledge, you can just remind yourself of it and then advocate with for yourself. So ask questions, speak your truth respectfully. You know, and when I was taking a birth class, prepping for labor and delivery, there's a really great thing that they suggest that you do when you're in labor, when you're prompted with, like, questions or decision, and it's brain. So you ask benefits, risks, alternatives, brain. Is there anything? I think it's something like, what if I do? Oh, that's the last one. What if I do nothing? What is the I? I can't remember what the I is, but look it up. Benefits, risks, alternatives, and then what if I do nothing? And then there's one other thing, but look it up. that's a really great tool to have in your back pocket if a doctor is like prescribing something, just to figure out, oh, is it an emergency? That's the I. Is it an emergency? So keep that with you as a great way to advocate for yourself. Practice speaking up for yourself, practice one little bit at a time. I know it can be scary with doctors, especially, or like people who are in a position of power and authority, people who maybe haven't been trained to like really listen and are trained to just tell. That can be really hard to stand up for yourself, and you just have to do the work to be in your confidence, to be in your truth, equip yourself with the knowledge, and then advocate, practice advocating. I thought I was really good at advocating for myself, and I did my best when I was giving birth. That's like obviously an extreme example, but I still had like stuff come up where I was feeling anxious about advocating. So I tell you that with just keep in mind that it's a practice. It might be scary. Your voice might shake. You might feel scared. And that's okay. So long as you are practicing advocating, that's what matters, and it'll get easier with time. All right, speaking about pregnancy, the next question I got is, I'd love to hear about conscious pregnancy, connecting with your babe while he was in the womb. And this person also shared that navigating pregnancy after a loss has been challenging at times, and working hard to be present, taking each day as it comes, and staying connected rather than slipping into fear. And my heart is really, really with you. I know. This particular person who asked this question, I know how challenging your experience has been, and I am sending you so much love. And to answer your question, you know, I actually found it to be really surprising, because I had in my mind, I'm going to be pregnant. I'm going to feel like this goddess in a meadow, like so in tune with my body, so connected to my baby. And I really had like a lot of mental health stuff come up because of the chemicals that shifted in my body with pregnancy. And also becoming a parent can just be really triggering. You don't realize how much like unhealed childhood stuff you still have until you become a parent. It's crazy. And so it's deep shadow work that is presented to us through parenthood, and that starts with pregnancy. I think it even can start before conception. Like, it starts as soon as you have the, you know, desire or thought about getting pregnant. It's always there. And so what I think happens is that we might have this idea of what we think pregnancy should be like or should feel like, or what parenthood should be like or should feel like. And then if we experience these like quote negative things, these triggers, these challenging emotions, especially if you're having like loss and challenge and trauma, like physically and emotionally on top of that. I mean, it's a lot. And so I would say release your expectation of what it's supposed to be, because there's a lot of toxic positivity in the natural birth community and a lot of invalidation towards women who are pregnant. I mean, if you think about like in pop culture, so much of the time women in labor are just like disregarded and like seen as crazy. Like, they're grabbing their husband and they're like, you did this to me. And like just this angry, you know, thing. And people view pregnant women as being like so fragile. And yet, like, you know, I think a lot of the ideas carry over from like, oh, she's just on her period, so she's acting crazy. Like, people view pregnant women as being irrational. And so all of this is just to provide context to the fact that pregnant women and pregnant people, and also just women in general, are not respected the way they should be. And so if you can release some of the pressure on yourself that you're supposed to feel completely at peace, that you're supposed to feel like completely present, and just know that like parenthood and motherhood is such a divine initiation into shadow work, and that can be really hard. It can be so challenging, but continue to rise to the occasion and trust that you are becoming the version of yourself that you need to be for your baby. And moving through the challenges in the darkness is equipping you with the tools that you need to be the best parent as possible. I know it's hard. I know just hearing those things doesn't take the pain away, but those are the things I reminded myself when I was really caught in a lot of shame for feeling negative things. In terms of like connecting to the baby, and I'm sorry if you can hear noise in the background, we still have our home renovation going on, and they're renovating right above our soundproof music studio. So I'm in my office, but it's still happening. Okay. In terms of connecting to the baby, I just did a lot of meditating. I did, you know, the guided meditations. I did my mornings with Mel that like live. So you could go back and listen to some of those. I know you, this person who's asking does know you have the resources. I did a lot of that. And I also did a lot of just visualization. And once you start feeling the kicks, it's gonna feel different. Like once you start feeling the movements, you're gonna feel more connected. Once you, you know, pick out your name if you haven't already, or, you know, all of you see your ultrasound, you know, especially further along at like the 20 week mark, like those things really give you a sense of connection because it's like, oh my God, this is a real human being and it's so exciting. And so know that that will be really helpful. I just also tuned into the energy. So when Leo was in my womb, I remember just feeling this kind of like fluffy pink cotton candy energy. It's like the super like sweet and like cuddly energy. And I just, when I would feel like scared, I would just try to like tune into that energy. So see if you can get a sense of the energy of the soul of this child, if there's like a visual or a feeling, and then use that as an anchor for yourself as you move through this time. I am sending you so much love. All right, so I got this question all about how to find your community, especially, it was a really long question, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll address the main points of it. But it's like, once you get to a point in your healing journey or your personal development journey, it might feel like some of your friends just don't get it, that they are not as like deep into, you know, their healing journey as you are. And so that could feel like you don't have enough of a similar ground to stand on, and you don't have as much shared interests and values. That can be really hard. And so this question was really looking at that and being like, what do I do? You know, how do I find my people? And what do I do with the people that I like used to be friends with that just don't make me feel inspired anymore? And listen, I so get it. And my recommendations is to really put yourself out there into communities that are going to be in alignment with your values. So when I moved to Maine from New York City, my husband had a bunch of friends here because he grew up here, but I didn't have any friends of my own. And I went to networking events, like for women in business. And at one of those events, I met another coach who's now a really good friend. On social media, I followed like so many local women business owners, like photographers and massage therapists and yoga teachers. Like I just like went, you know, if you follow somebody on Instagram, it says recommended. Like I honestly would like follow somebody local who was in the same world and then see who they recommended and then follow that person. So it was like, you know, January 2020, right when I moved to Maine, I just went on a following spree and I just followed all of these women. And, you know, not necessarily like looking to be every single one of them, like, you know, best friends with every single one of them. But, you know, because people post events, they post opportunities and you never know. And so I actually have become friends with some of them, you know, because I sent a message and I said, hey, I just moved to town and I would love to connect. I work in a similar space. some of them, you know, at event, like I went to all day wellness festival and, you know, even just yoga class. You know, I think there's just so many opportunities, and I know it can be really intimidating, but coming from a place of connection, I think, is really key. And just being authentic, you know, saying, hey, like I am, you know, really into personal development and self-love, and I just love what you're doing. And you know, just reaching out and sending a message. I think that's key, you know, like finding your commonalities and mirroring that back to them, saying, oh, I saw that, you know, you go to this yoga class. I go to that yoga class too. We should get coffee after sometime. You know, put yourself out there. I know it's like dating. But do the shadow work of working through any self-doubt, and just practice being confident. I know, like, it's one of those things where you might just want to fake it till you make it. Just do it scared. Be scared, but do it anyway. And you're gonna find some amazing friends. And also, yeah, I mean, social media is just such an amazing resource. So that's what I did, and I have a really beautiful community here now that I'm really proud of and really grateful for. So to answer the question about like your friends, if you don't have like your friends that might not have shared values anymore, that's a tough one because these are people that you might have memories with, and important life events might have happened with them, and it can be really hard. What I have done is I've like, you know, in pretty much every single case, kept connection and kept communication going. But you know, maybe not the same level of communication. And I'm just being my authentic self. And if they don't, if they're not like resonating with that, usually, you know, there's just kind of a drop off in communication. And it happens, and you just kind of let it be what it wants to be. I would say if there's people being nasty to you or like, you know, criticizing you, then you can put up a boundary. Don't be afraid to say, hey, you know, I'm trying to share my authentic self here. But when you know, criticize or judge me or make fun of me, it really hurts my feelings. And I know you care deeply for me. I care deeply for you. But in order to maintain the like safety of our relationship, you know, I don't want to spend as much time together, or maybe we shouldn't talk about these things, or maybe, you know, is there another way you can like, you know, communicate your feelings to me that isn't hurtful, like those kinds of comments. And I know not everybody is receptive to that. And so at a certain point, it might just be time for you to take pauses. You know, there are relationships that I've had in my life where, like, you know, we've taken a pause maybe for a year or two, and it might not be like we verbally say we're taking a pause, but it kind of just ha falls into that. And then, you know, you end up missing each other and you come back. Don't try to force relationships to be with, and allow yourself to, yeah, say what you need. That's part of self-love. So I hope that was helpful. And I believe I answered every question. I know, I feel like I've received more questions than this recently, but these are the ones that I made note of. So I'll do another episode like this sometime soon. If you liked it, feel free to send me questions in my DM, or you can email me, melanie@melaniemonaco.com, DM me on Instagram at the Self Love Lifestyle. But I'm really grateful for all of you for asking these questions, and I hope they opened something up for you. And I'll see you real soon. Thank you so much for listening today. I do really appreciate it. And if you want to connect further, you can find me on Instagram at The Self Love Lifestyle, on Facebook at The Self Love Lifestyle. You can go to theselflovelifestyle.com to learn more about my offerings and the Self Love Coach Certification Program. And if you feel called, you can rate and review this podcast. That will help more people find it, which does grow our community. If it feels aligned, I would be so grateful. Otherwise, I'll see you next time. And again, I just want to offer so much gratitude your way for listening today.